Everybody who wants to be here for the briefing on the Culinary Corridor is here. So, good afternoon. This is Design Commission for February 21st, 2019. And let's begin with introductions. How about Bureau of Development Services staff who are here? Ben, you wanna go first?
Benjamin Nielsen, BDS.
Sheila Bradley.
Laura Duvall.
And commissioners?
Jessica Molinar.
Was stuck. Brian McCarter.
Yeah. Zary Santner.
Don Vallister.
Sam Rodriguez.
And I'm Julie Livingston. We may be joined by Commissioner Andrew Clark shortly as well. So, commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of large projects within designated design zones. We are not paid but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. So today's agenda, item number one is items of interest. Item number two is a briefing on the Culinary Corridor. Items number three and four are design advice requests. The first is for a new residential development proposed at 2135 Northwest 29th Avenue. And the second is for a new mixed-use residential building in the Goose Hollow neighborhood. And our final agenda item today, number five, is a type 3 land use review for the new Lexus dealership proposed at Northeast Sandy and 30th. So if there's anybody in the room who's here for Lexus, it is going to be a long wait. Materials for all of the cases, for the one case and then both design advice requests are on the shelf in the back of the room. And I will prompt people around public comment or public testimony when we get to that point in the agenda for each of those three agenda items. So are there items of interest today? I'm looking to Ben because he is.
You know, I don't have any items to bring up with you. Tim may have someone. He joins us at around 2:30.
Okay, so we'll check in later on items of interest. And in fact, I think he's in a training today. I think he told me that he was going
to be in
a lengthy training and may not be here until much later.
Maybe Stacy will have some.
Okay.
I think she's joining at 2:30.
We'll put that on hold and move directly.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Do any commission members have an item of interest?
Yes, I do. You may know that I've been appointed on behalf of the Design Commission on the TriMet's Green Ribbon Committee.
Yes.
And
thank you for
serving. Sure. That committee met for the first time last week. So this is a committee of about 10 people who are tasked with evaluating various options for connecting the light rail from Barber Boulevard to OHSU. And the committee's recommendation would be forwarded to the steering committee for the entire corridor plan and design, and they have the final authority in terms of approving. But our first meeting was held, and it was primarily focused on goals, aspirations, and specific categories that the working committee, which consists of both city and TriMet and regional staff, will be working on from which to develop options. And there were a couple of items that was of interest, I think, to me, and I know would be to you, which I try to convey, which was in terms of the requirements of the project. There were no indication of quality, the quality of design, quality of materials, or workmanship. And also the general overall community benefit, aside from specifically just safety, conveyance, and getting people from A to B, what other goals should be included in that. And I think the committee agreed to and directed the staff to include them there. So I will periodically, as I will deal with this, will come back to you and will ask, report to you and ask for your ideas. If you hear about this, read about this, or want more information, I really would like to have some input from you.
Thank you very much. Do other commissioners have any engagement with Southwest Corridor? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Right, you are working on that, okay. Okay, and I'm engaged in some of the discussion around housing affordability and land banking and
right.
What some of the real estate development might look like. So I'm sure that this will surface a couple of times here in the hearings room. Thank you for being willing to
sure.
do this. Any other items of interest? Stacy Monroe, do you have an item?
I do. Good afternoon. Within your packet, you received a memo from me regarding the neighborhood contact. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but I will briefly summarize it. The neighborhood contact is a legislative project that BPS has been working on. It came before you, I believe, in May of 2018 in the form of a discussion draft. What the code proposes is to alter the current neighborhood contact requirements and change the thresholds and change some of the requirements. The proposed draft went to the PSC and some additional regulations were added. So I'm going to briefly go over the changes and what they are going to council with on May 6th. Then I'm going to go over briefly the issues that you addressed during the discussion draft to see if you still have any concerns, and if so, if you want to send a memo or a letter to council. So, briefly, the current regulations require an additional contact with the neighborhood before some land use reviews and some building permits. In some residential zones, with some types of land divisions, when community design standards are used, in a few other specific situations. And the requirement currently requires applicants to reach out to the neighborhood association for a meeting. So the changes to that current language being proposed is to change the thresholds rather than having them scattered throughout the code and applying to different scenarios. It would only apply when projects are adding 10,000 square feet or more. So simplifying the threshold when the neighborhood contact is triggered. It's also establishing a two-track process that requires a meeting when 25,000 square feet of building area is added to a site. So the additional goal is to try to have these meetings with people that will be impacted by the development, not necessarily the neighborhood associations. So the information will be posted on a sign on the site, and the neighborhood association, business association, school district, and coalitions will be notified via mail or email about the upcoming proposal. And BDS staff in the future will be working on a sign which sat up on this wall for quite some time that you guys looked at. That is not part of the current package. That is a separate step that BDS will be designing the sign and the contents, and we have your feedback on that. So an additional requirement that was added at the PSC was to require BDS to have all the information available to the public online. So BPS is currently creating a software program that allows applicants to kind of register their projects and allows the public to access it to get information about a project. So that's a requirement by BPS. PSC. So given that, the comments that the commission had are on the second page of the memo. There was a comment that it was recommended that mailing the notice be retained as a requirement rather than as an option to ensure everyone receives a notice, because not everyone has email. So the current proposal still retains both as an option. BPS has indicated that they are relying heavily on the site posting as the way to communicate this information, and the mailing and emailing is just supplemental. So they're not going to change that. Another comment that the commission made was the commission agreed that the neighborhood association should be given the first opportunity to host a meeting rather than have the applicant host the meeting. And the current proposal doesn't preclude this. If the applicant wants the neighborhood association to host it and they're willing to, they can very well do that. And the last comment the commission made was a desire to document the process, knowing that when a site is posted, if a meeting was requested, and receiving a summary of the meeting from the neighborhood rather than the applicant would help the commission understand the neighborhood's position and concerns prior to a DAR or a land use review. So a requirement was added that requires the applicant to sign a certification sheet that says that they have met all the requirements, including providing the summary, posting the site, having the meeting. So it seems like the only item that was not addressed of your original concern was having the mailing notice be a requirement rather than an option. So if you feel strongly about that, or you have concerns about the additional language proposed by PSC to add online access, then we can have a discussion and talk about a potential letter to council.
I just have a question about the 35 days.
Yeah.
That's a long time. How does that impact project timelines?
The current neighborhood contact requirement can be up to 42 days. So the current requirement says you mail a letter, and if a meeting is requested, you have to have that meeting within 42 days. So this actually shortens the current time within a meeting from 42 to 35.
Okay.
So it's reducing that timeline a bit. But it is a requirement
this has
before
to be completely done 35 days before
correct.
You submit. That was not the same before.
Yes, it was.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the time hasn't changed.
Okay.
Right.
So I didn't, now I'm confused. So you have to call a meeting within 35 days of the notification.
You have to have a meeting within 35 days before you submit your land use application. So you have to post the site 35 days, and on that posting, you have to have the meeting date on that posting board. So while the code says 35 days, you do have some work to do before that 35 days to find a meeting location, get your boards made, and post the site.
So if the neighborhood association were to not host the meeting,
the applicant would be required. So another focus of this project is to take the burden off the neighborhood association and put it onto, not the burden, put the requirement onto the developer to do the lead work to get the notification out to the public.
So I really wonder how you do that if you are not a property owner in the neighborhood with the spatial resources available to host a meeting.
So I believe in the admin rule, there is, that was brought up in the beginning. How are you going to know that these places need to be accessible, they're available at night, they're free, they can fit so many people? There is, I believe, a list being compiled of the places within the area that are known to be public meeting spaces that could be opportunities for developers to have access to. I don't know why I'm pointing to you. So we understand that there might not be that knowledge, but I believe there's a resource that's being created too. To help developers.
Seems like without that resource, it's just going to be a fail.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'm still confused on the timeline.
Okay.
So you have, it's 35 days minimum prior to submittal?
35 days before you submit, you must post the site and have a meeting if your building is over 25,000 square feet.
Because not all, some neighborhoods meet.
Right.
Quarterly.
Yeah. Right.
So you
right.
could be waiting 6 months before
and
you can actually submit.
And that's why the requirement is not for the neighborhood association meeting. It's for the developer or the applicant to host the meeting within 35 days. But if there happens to be a neighborhood association meeting within that 35 days, the code doesn't preclude them from being the host. Does that make sense? Because that was the concern in the current one, is that they don't meet as frequently.
Yeah.
But the requirement was on them.
As long as two people from the neighborhood show up, that qualifies as a meeting?
Nobody has to show up. The applicant has to offer a meeting and host a meeting.
Okay.
And if somebody comes, great. If nobody comes, no harm.
You can offer beers, and I'm sure we'll get a lot more people.
Okay. Because some neighborhoods just
don't meet.
Show up for stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still burdensome, but
yeah.
I think if there's a resource to allow I mean, where are you going to host these things? Right. That's one thing. And then the other clarification, I mean, we've talked about it, but just for the record, the mailing or communication is to the neighborhood association, not to every resident within 500 feet, right?
That is correct.
So it's not a, you know, a couple thousand letters that have to go out. It's just one or two.
That's communications. Correct. Okay. The applicant must contact the neighborhood association, district neighborhood coalition, and business association within the boundaries of the proposal.
I think that's reasonable.
So yeah. Actual residents are more than likely going to get their information from the board. Posting on the site.
From the board, correct.
So it seems as one more thought, and I'm going to wrap this up really quickly mm-hmm. so that we can move on to Culinary Quarter. I pulled up our DOZA report, mm-hmm. our DOZA recommendations, and read through the recommendations about outreach, improve the public involvement system. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though this lines up with the goals of DOZA. You are much more engaged in these discussions, certainly, than any of the commissioners are. Is it your sense that this is a strategy that supports DOZA well?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sure.
And that makes me think then that we should write a letter. And I would be glad if you have time, Stacey, if you and I were to work back and forth on that, just to be sure that
sure
we hit all the issues that
yeah,
should
maybe
be addressed.
We can huddle on a break.
Yeah,
today.
Okay. Okay. Is that all right with all the other commissioners?
Sounds great.
And the purpose of the letter is?
Support.
Oh, support. Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep, just to okay. demonstrate that we are familiar with this and support it.
With a slight tinge of concern, it sounds like.
On the meeting yeah. valuation.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Commissioner Rodriguez?
With a slight tinge of concern about the meeting, putting the burden of the meeting on the applicant. My opinion, I think it should. I don't know, I mean, I guess. We should be using the tools that we have, which are the neighborhood associations.
The concern is they don't meet as frequently.
But then
which
that's
would then extend
the option
the
open, but not make it an obligation, make it an option. If you want to have something earlier, you can organize it, but otherwise, just use the neighborhood association meeting. It's a lot of work to have no one show up.
Yeah. So I would propose that on that bullet point that the three of us work on that together. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Be sure we get it right.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All good. Thank you very much. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the